Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You'll hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
It's good for us all, regardless of nationality and background, to expand our cultural understanding. And I'll just tell you that this is one thing my wife and I miss a little bit, because we have served in some other areas that have been, well, not melting pots of nationalities, but certainly cultures represented. And it's wonderful to go to church and see different cultural backgrounds all come together with an understanding of one faith and one Savior in Jesus Christ. And I don't know what your nationality or your background is, but the wonderful thing is that Jesus came to free every man, every woman, every child from every country, and those who put their faith in him, regardless of color of skin, regardless of background, regardless of country. Because the reality is, we put our faith in him, our citizenship is in heaven. Amen. And I'm so glad that we serve a God that his only prejudice is sin. And he provided an answer for it. And he looks upon the heart of an individual, not on the outward. That's what he said in the scripture, right? People look on the outward, but God looks upon the heart. And it is good for us to remember that there are other nationalities that we have opened our border to, or a land we came to that already had inhabitants of people that we know as the United States now, that we want to continue to pray and believe that this is and will become and sustain itself as a Christian nation. So I'm aware of the time, but I want to read you a scripture on this Memorial Day Sunday. It's found in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. While you're turning there, understand that this is a letter that's being written to Timothy by the Apostle Paul, his father in the faith. He kind of, in the faith, adopted Timothy like a son and invested in him and encouraged him. And Timothy is this young pastor, probably around 46. he's younger than that. But the young and the 46 kind of go together this year. He writes this to Timothy, verse 3. Endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. In those two verses, there are some great foundational things about not only being a military person, but the parallel that we see in military people should also apply and come over to this understanding as a Christian and our call and our commitment to Christ in carrying the gospel and in the way we live. Two very simple things that our commander, Christ Jesus, because that's the one we want to please, right? Our Father in heaven, our Savior, Jesus Christ, that's the one we want to please. That's the one that we should be concerned about pleasing. And part of pleasing him also has to do with how we live on this level, you know, one to another, person to person. That brings him pleasure. I know how happy I am when I watch my children and they're nice to each other. Okay? But our concern is that we please Him. Just like a soldier is concerned about pleasing the officer he reports to, the commanding officer. And Paul tells Timothy, you know what? Endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ Jesus, because no one who serves as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. Well, let's look at this commanding officer in Christ Jesus, because the soldier belongs to him. We as Christians belong to him. There's two very significant things that Jesus did. One is, he left his home, and he left his clothing. He left his apparel. When he left home, you have to remember, before he came to earth in human form, he was in heaven. He was with his Father. He was in a place where he was admired, he was honored, and he was worshipped. But he left that to come to a place where he would be rejected. A place that not everybody was happy that he came. A place where he would now be subject to pain or loneliness or suffering. He would know for the first time what it is to actually be hungry. You see, he left his home in glory to come to a foreign land. Isn't that what military does? Isn't that what a good soldier does? I'm leaving my home, and I may be going to a place and serving in a place where I could be misunderstood, a place where not everybody might be happy that I'm there. A place where now people are shooting at me. It wasn't the safety of mother's kitchen. You see, Jesus, he led by example. The first thing he did is he left home. Second thing is that he left and exchanged his clothing. I don't know, we live in this area near Fort McCoy. And you know what? I see a lot of dingy camel. Not dingy. Kind of that dingy camel, is that what it's called? Is that what it is, Rusty? Close enough? Yeah, close enough. I see it all around. I see people in the community, and they are in their uniform or fatigues. And by the way, thanks for wearing your uniform this morning. I know more, yeah. I know more would have, but their uniforms don't fit them anymore. Just like my college jersey would not fit me anymore. Things change. We become bigger people. But their clothing is different. They don't wear civilian clothes anymore. Jesus left his home. The second thing he did is he put on humanity. That's what he was clothed in now. He left his place and he took on human form. Here's the great news, because it's in Hebrews chapter 4 and it's in other places in the scripture, but Hebrews chapter 4, if we could just look there very quick. Verse 14. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way. Now, I want to pause there. What it's saying is there has been an understanding in Jesus when he left home and he put on humanity's clothing, and he walked on this earth. And it says he was tempted in every way. Understand that the temptations may be disguised today differently, but the root of the temptation is still the same. He was tempted in every way. The things that tried to appeal to his soul, his flesh, the difference is he was successful at what Adam wasn't and what you and I have not been successful at, is that he went through temptation without sin. But the marvelous thing is when he left home and he put on new clothes of humanity, he understood what it was like for those he was coming to set free. But we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. See, Jesus came to set us free because he's obedient to the Father, he is loving, he is all the perfect virtue of God. But he comes, and because he left home and put on humanity, he understands, he proved to us that he is acquainted with sorrow, acquainted with temptation, acquainted with all the physical needs, acquainted with the loneliness, all acquainted with pain, acquainted with suffering, acquainted with disappointment. He was acquainted with all the things that we are acquainted with. He was acquainted with the depravity of man and walked in a body and amongst corruption without being corrupted. He has compassion. It says that's why we can go to him and we can confess and we can call out and we can cry out in need, because he has a compassion. He doesn't embrace evil or wickedness or sin. He doesn't condone it. He is holy without flaw. But part of his holiness is that he has a compassion on people who have been oppressed and bothered by sin and gave his life and endured hardship like a good soldier, caring what his father thought and why his father sent him, even though not everyone was pleased or believed why he came. He endured hardship as a good soldier. And you and I, because of that, can go to him in our need. I mean real need. I mean all the stuff inside that we can hide from people. And you will find in him a mercy and a grace and a compassion, because he has walked this earth. You have a help in him. You have one who cares for you. And he knows everything you and I have done. And he still loves us. I want you to be assured this morning, if you come with sincerity of faith and you go before him, you will find a God of holiness, yes. A God of justice, yes. But you will find a God of mercy. And you will find a God of grace. And you will find a God who does understand. In his understanding, he doesn't say, oh, that's okay, continue in it. He understands what has happened. He understands what has transpired. And he also understands how to make us overcomers. He knows how to put in us his spirit that transcends our weakness and transforms us, that we can now walk in this life as he did, victorious and overcoming, full of grace, full of truth, full of wisdom. He can empower us to do that. He knows how to. So I want you to remember a couple other things this morning on this Memorial Day, this day of remembrance. Because if we are truly soldiers as Christians, if we have a mandate that military has in our faith, that there is a militancy of quality, it doesn't mean we have to be harsh. but there's a militancy inside, a passion, a driving power of his spirit to parallel to some of the things that soldiers endure. It's this. If we are called to that kind of battle, you remember who your enemy is. Because your enemy is not the person sitting next to you. And your enemy is not the person you live with. And we can be distracted and it can be diverted so subtly that we begin to see enemies where there is no enemy. You remember who the enemy is and all the diversions he sends. Don't be mistaken. You remember who your enemy is. The one who comes to kill and steal and destroy from you. And then I want you to remember who your advocate is. The one who conquered your enemy, who conquered sin and death and hell, who overcame. He knows the way. So you remember him. You remember who your Savior is. You remember that he walked on this earth. You remember his pain and his suffering and what he gave, because his blood is enough to pay for all of our sin. You remember him. You remember his calling, his words, his promise. You remember those things when the doubt comes. You remember him. You remember him when the enemy is firing away at you in your life or in your thoughts. You remember the shield of faith. You remember all the armor of God that you have been equipped with that it talks about in Ephesians chapter 6. You remember the sword of the Spirit, God's word, that combats every doubt, every thought. Don't you allow lies and deceit and your own human thinking to exalt itself over the power of God's word. God's word is supreme, and it is forever, and it shall stand, and it will not be shaken. That's what we need to remember. In the beginning was the Word, Jesus. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amen. And he came and dwelt in human form. He walked among us for a time. He's acquainted, and he knows our sorrows, and he knows how to empower us to overcome. So don't just say, I'm sorry, and don't just ask forgiveness, and just feel bad and look for the comfort of Jesus. Oh, he'll grant it, but it's got to be moved from there. That we learn how to endure hardship with a smile. We know how to combat doubt and criticism and lies and subtle deceits because we are concerned about what he thinks. And this is what he thinks. That's what we need to remember. Of the one who has gone before and gave his life and picked it up again and still lives, that he can hear our prayers.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is the ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.